गुरवे गौरचंद्राय राधिकाय तदालय कृष्णाय कृष्ण भक्ताय तदभक्ताय वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यश्च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो तवैवास्मि न जीवामि त्वया विना इति विज्ञाय राधे तन्नय मां शरणं। माय मिलियंस ऑफ दंडवत प्रणाम इन लोटस फीट ऑफ माय स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर ओम विष्णु पाद अष्टोत्तर श्रीमद् भक्ति प्रज्ञान केशव गोस्वामी महाराज। And same millions of Dandat Pranati in the lotus feet of my Shiksha Guru. Yesterday, we begin our Srimad Bhagavat Katha. In the last, we explained. Krishna is Advaya Jnana Paratattva. But many of you perhaps are not understanding. So Tridandi Maharaj will speak shortly and you should give a very good idea. What is Advaya Jnana Paratattva?
Om Adinath Nirandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshu Unmulitam Jena Tasmaya Shri Guruve Namaha. I first of all offer millions and millions of Dandavat Pranams unto the lotus feet of my beloved Gurudev. Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parirajaka Charja Astotra Sarashi Shriman Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Maharaj Goswami. So Srila Gurudev has asked me to speak on Advaya Gyan Paratattva, the principle of Advaya Gyan. It means that Krishna is one and nothing in existence is separate from Krishna. This is the essence of this tattva. And there's one, the verse that we're discussing now, Vedanti tat tattva vedas tattvam yad gyanam advayam Brahmati, Paramatmati, Bhagavan, iti shabhyate. So when Ganeshji was writing for Vyasadeva, he made a contract that Vyasadeva would have to speak continuously, 18,000 verses. So Vyasadeva immediately responded by saying, I will keep speaking the verses and you must keep writing as long as you understand everything that I'm saying. So when he came to this verse, that Krishna is one, yet he's three, then immediately it becomes bewildering to some degree. So yesterday, Shamrani Didi, she described very beautifully the different analogies or the different examples. She described the example of a hill. We see a hill in the distance, and we have an experience of that. We get closer, and we can see the trees, we get closer again, we can see the animals and wildlife, etc. So, Brahmati, Paramatmati, and Bhagavan. So the principle being that Brahmati is Krishna's effulgence. This effulgence actually are the qualities of Gyan and Vairagya. This is what makes up the Brahmajyoti. Krishna has six qualities, and these qualities of Brahma, of Gyan and Vairagya, constitutes Krishna's effulgence. So this is the Chit Shakti principle, and Krishna is the Ishtadeva of the Chit Shakti. And then the Paramatma feature, this is Sat and Chit, everything that is in existence, plus Chit, which is knowledge. So Chit and Sat. And then finally, Bhagavan, the repository of all qualities, the personal aspect, is Sat Chit Ananda. So these principles are explained in this way. So as Shamrani Devi was explaining yesterday, there are three challenges, you can say, to this concept that Srila Jiva Goswami presents. And one is that that there is a difference between in Krishna's eyes and his other limbs. So this is nullified by the fact that we understand that Krishna is his eyes, he can see with his legs, he can see with his hands, etc. And Gyani Yasya Sakalendriya Vrittimanti, that all of Krishna's bodily limbs are simultaneously present in each of his limbs. This is difficult for a conditioned soul to understand, that this is the meaning of achintya, or inconceivable. So this, challenge, so to speak, is nullified by that.
Thank you.
Sure.
Can you tell something? What is Advaigyan Sattva? We are not understand. What about 3 days we are, 2 days we are, anything? Something what you have understand. Without Krishna, anyone has not independence existence. Only Krishna, Ram Nishing or Krishna. Krishna has come in the form of me. All the gopis and all the Brajavasi, they are from Krishna. Gopis are Ladini Shakti of Krishna, and all gopis are manifestation of Radhika, his Shakti, none different to Krishna. And this world has come from Maya, the Chaya of Chit Shakti, shadow. See, this is not independent. We are also not independent. We are dependent to the existence of Krishna. This is the main purpose. Brahma, Paramatma, also related to Krishna. His Padanakha Jyoti is Brahma. Our Sakshi, only one sheet. Sat and Chit, and that is Vikrita, not full. So everything depends on Krishna, and we have all come from Krishna. So this is Advaigyan Tattva. Krishna is Advaigyan Partha. Now, when in the end of Dwapara, Maharshi Vedavyas, he was manifestance of Krishna. He divided Vedas, Vedic literature, into four parts. They were very hard to understand. For this, he made Brahma Sutra. But if one cannot understand. To understand all these things, he made Purans, Upapuran, Sakha Puran. And in the last he made Pancham Ved, Mahabharata. And he distributed to his disciples. But really he was not happy. He was sitting in the Samaprasa ashram and thinking, what is lacking in me? That is, Atma is not prasanna, not satisfied. What is loophole? But he could not decide. And in the meantime, fortunately, his guru, Devarshi Narada, came there. He did Sastam Dandvat Pranam to his Gurudev, gave him Pad Shaush. He washed the lotus feet of his Gurudev and he was satisfied and sitting. Then Narada Rishi asked, "You are like God, who have divided Vedas. You have taken the essence of all the Vedic literature, Sukti, that is Brahma Sutra. Even you explained it in Puran and Pancham Ved. But it seems you are not happy." Then he told Gurudev, "You are telling the reality. I am not satisfied. So you will have to see my nafs, pulse, and decide that why I am not satisfied. By doing so, you cannot judge why you are not satisfied. But realized guru, qualified guru can know." And that is why time to time he reminds us. He rebukes also. But this is his kindness. If we are then correcting ourselves, okay, Neto, you will go to hell. So we should try to understand and follow the words of Gurudev. Beast, Vyasdev, Vedabhyas was very intelligent. So he told Gurudev, "I must follow you. You should point out where is my loop and hole." And then he told, "You have done so many things, all Purans and everything. And then you have not decided Krishna Leela Katha as you have explained Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. You have given the importance of Dharma, Artha, Kaam, and Moksha. You have not explained sweet pastimes of Supreme Lord. Even you have not decided who is Supreme Lord. Have you decided? In Vishnu Puran, Vishnu, Narayan, you have established. In Shiva Puran, Shiva. In other Purans, Markandeya and other Purans, Shakti. So, all people reading them, they become in confusion. They cannot decide who is our Supreme Lord or Abhishthade. So, you should try to know Who is he? Have you written that Krishna is Supreme Lord, he is Lord of Lord, Swayam Bhagavan? Have you written that he is satisfied by bhakti? Have you written there that though he is Supreme Lord, he is very powerful, but Mother Yashoda binded him? Have you written? Have you written that Krishna sitting in the lotus feet of gopis and praying, Napareham Nirvadya Sanjujam? Have you written? Then, have you written Gopi Geet, Bhramar Geet, Venu Geet? Have you written? The bigger, the suppression mood of gopis, have you told anywhere? Then what you have done? So I don't know all these things. Oh, you should follow Bhakti Yoga. What is Bhakti Yoga? To surrender totally. You should surrender. And in trance you will see all the sweet paths of Krishna. From top to bottom. From Dwarka, from Brajlila, Mathura, Dwarka, and all Lila. Then Narada Rishi went on. And Vyasadeva, he took Samadhi. Samadhi means, you know, I don't know you. I have totally surrendered you. And he was meditating. At once he saw Aparsat Purusham Purna Mayant Jada Aparsaya. He saw Purna Purush. He saw Brajendranandan Shyam Sundar. He saw Mother Yashoda, Nanda Baba, Sudam Shruval, all. And especially gopis, Srimati Radhika, Chandrauli and others. And he saw Rosh Panchadhyayi, what is written. He saw. And he also saw Bhramar Geet, Venu Geet and other things. And after that he went to Dwarka and he married with all the gopis, Rukmani, Saptabhama and others. And then how he fought Mahabharata Yuddha and how his family was ruined and he was sitting there, Uddhav came and he gave Uddhav Sambhad, which is written in Bhagavad, everything. And then Lokasya Ajanato. Jasamoito Jivat Manam Trigunatmakam Parvapi Mante Anartha Natantat Kitan Chapipatati. We know all these things. We know that we are so part parcel of Krishna. We are Chetan Vastu. But why we are entangled in body? Always we think that I am this body. This is Krishna Maya. If you are doing really bhajan, that has been told before, Vasudeva Bhakti Prayojita Janate Asu Jnanam Vairagyam Cha Ahaitukam. Really, if anyone is chanting, he is doing a smarana of Krishna, and really he is doing Shuddha Bhakti, then Jnana and Vairagya all kinds of knowledge will come automatically. And detachment from? But why we go down? Why? We see this sannyasis of ISKCON. They are going down. We should try to escape from criticizing anyone Vaishnav. Those is so much don't do. Or they try to be Tinadapi Sunichena Taru Rapi Sahishuna Amanina Mana Dena Kirtaniya Sada. Don't think I know better than anyone. And thus go on doing bhakti. You should all try, we should try that this body is not myself, this is a bag of urine, stool and other things. I should do for Krishna. Whatever we do, if Guru is qualified to please him and Krishna, Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, then very soon you will realize and your bhakti will be advanced. So, Narada is telling about his past history to Vyasadeva. Gurudev must tell, it is better to tell his own history, how he advanced in Krishna consciousness, than epics, stories and other things. So, what he told? Oh, Abhihayane. Lord, you can do. Namo Vishnu Padaya. You want? Actually, let him do. I forget to.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine.
Srila Vyasadev was in a dilemma, how he did not understand why he was feeling dissatisfied, even though he had performed this amazing task of writing all the Vedic literatures, but yet he was not feeling satisfied. And his Gurudev, Sri Narad Muni, came there to his very ashram and actually pinpointed. He found this, as Gurudev says, the loophole, the place through which Srila Vyasadeva was not understanding what was the cause, and Sri Guru was able to detect the cause. So Sri Narada Muni began to instruct Srila Vyasadeva about his own personal experience in his own life, but this was his previous life.
as Gurudev told, that a guru will actually tell his disciple how, by what process he himself has attained his state of perfection. So this very interesting narration from the lips of Sri Narada Muni, the guru of gurus, Devarshi Narada, who in our universe and in whose millions of other universes, Sri Narada Muni is traveling and describing the glories of the Lord to all the conditioned souls, liberating conditioned souls, making them his disciples. So many famous personalities, Dhruva, Prahlad, so many in Srimad Bhagavatam are the disciples of Narada. How did he achieve such an exalted position? So he actually told the story in his previous life. Sri Narada Muni was the son of a not very sophisticated lady. She was simply like a maid servant, like a sweeper lady who cleans. But she was the cleaning lady in a temple. And this temple, during the 4 months in India, when there's the rainy season, generally the great sages and saints, they're traveling and preaching and visiting different parts, different holy places, but during the rainy season, they usually reside in one place. So when Narada Rishi, in his previous life, was only a young boy of 5 years of age, he was living in this temple because his mother was a servant there. And so, at that time, when the rainy season came, there were four very great exalted sages, personalities, who came there and they began to live there in that very temple premises. These sages actually came in a kind of disguised form. They were also divine personalities who had descended into this world to give mercy to the conditioned souls. They were the four Kumaras, Sanak, Sanandana, Sanatan, and Sanat Kumar. So these four personalities began to live there, and while they were living there, Sri Narada Muni, as a young boy, he used to come and sit and listen to their Harikatha. Just like yesterday we were hearing, the Srimad Bhagavatam is describing the potency of hearing from the lips of a pure, realized Vaishnava and person Bhagavat. So here, these Bhakti Vedantas, these personalities came and began to describe the glories of Krishna. They began to discuss all the transcendental topics of pure devotion to the Supreme Lord. And this young boy Narada, he was very well behaved. He was actually not like a regular child who always simply wants to act frivolously and play and all of this, but he was very well behaved, and he used to sit near to these sages and he would constantly listen to their Harikatha. So these sages became very pleased with this young boy, and one day they gave him permission to accept the prasad remnants that they had left on their plates after honoring Krishna Prasad. And Narada Muni described to Vyasadeva that when, by their order, I took this prasadam remnants, this transcendental substance, foodstuff, from the lotus mouths of these great sages, immediately I felt that my whole existence had become purified, and my attention, my attraction was drawn towards them. Immediately, everything about them became attractive to me, and I began to completely relish and taste this nectar of their Harikatha. So these sages, they became so pleased with this young boy Narada, and they blessed him. They gave their full hearty blessings to this young boy, and after the end of 4 months period, they departed from that place and continued with their pilgrimage. At that time, Narada Muni, being such a young boy, and actually he had no one else in the world except his mother. His mother completely looked after him. He had no other relatives or anyone in the world. And his mother one day went out into the nearby forest area, and by the will of the Supreme Lord, she was bitten by a snake, and the poison from that snake took her life. So now this young boy, Narada, only 5 years of age, now he saw this opportunity that actually I have no one in this world. But by hearing from these great sages, he began to fully, deeply comprehend the transcendental truth that actually I am an eternal part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and he is my real relation. So Narada Muni took the opportunity and he left that place, and now he began to wander and to travel throughout the countryside and going through the forests, the deep dark forests. And finally, in a very intense mood, he came into the middle of a forest grove, and this, in the middle of this forest grove, he now tried to understand and remember the instructions that these sages had given him, how he can enter into very deep meditation and completely fix his mind and heart on the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, who is within his heart. So this young boy Narada sat down and, completely fixing his whole mind and intelligence, he deeply absorbed his mind in Krishna, meditating upon the Paramatma within his heart. And when Narada Muni was meditating in this way for some time, he became deeper and deeper absorbed, and suddenly, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, he himself gave his darshan within his heart. He appeared to Narada so that internally with his transcendental vision, Sri Narada Muni could directly see the beautiful, all-attractive Achintya Guna Swarupam, the attractive form and qualities of the Supreme Lord within his own heart. And when this took place, Sri Narada Muni described that all ecstatic symptoms came in my body, tears were flowing from my eyes, trembling came, and I was completely overwhelmed by this experience. And then, just as that form had appeared so suddenly, immediately that form disappeared from my vision. And then I became greatly distressed, Narada told. I now began to think, how can I again see that beautiful form of the Lord? He was so kind to appear before me, and he became somewhat desperate. He sat down again in the same way, and again he began to attempt to bring, by meditation, this form of the Lord to his vision. But then Narada Muni could understand that this was not happening again in the same way, and suddenly the Supreme Lord himself spoke to him. And Sri Narada Muni was able to hear the voice of the Lord telling him, "My dear Narada, I must inform you that I have given you my darshan just this one time to give you my special mercy so that you would be able to have in your life an absolute determination that you will one day again be able to see me in the future. But it is actually not possible for anyone to see me until they have become completely purified and freed from all material desires and fixed in pure bhakti to my lotus feet. But I have given you this one-time vision just to increase your desire and your determination." And then this voice disappeared. Sri Narada, at that moment, he felt so much gratitude, and he fell on the ground, weeping and praying, paying his dandavat pranams to the Supreme Lord and glorifying him. And now Sri Narada Muni understood what was his life's mission. And for the rest of his life in that body, Sri Narada Muni, he traveled everywhere, constantly chanting and singing the glories of the Supreme Lord, performing pure bhakti. And Narada described to Vyasadeva that at the end of that life, I became completely purified and fixed in the Supreme Lord. And then, just as lightning and illumination appear simultaneously, suddenly I attained my spiritual form as Narada, that you see me now. So Sri Narada Muni told this story to Vyasadeva and told that from that time, I took birth in the next millennium as the direct son of Lord Brahma. Brahmaji, the topmost demigod, creator of the universal planetary systems. I took birth as his son, And from that moment, I am continuously chanting the Supreme Lord's glories, traveling all throughout the universes and all throughout the creation. And in this way, I'm completely ecstatically absorbed in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, His name, form, qualities, and pastimes. So Sri Narada Muni instructed Vyasadeva in this way, to give Vyasadeva an understanding, what is the power of Sadhu Sangha? Just by the association of these great sages, even though he was unqualified and low-born, he did not have any high position in material society, the son of a maidservant only. But by the power and potency of the pure Bhakti Vedantas, those who are the transcendentally realized souls, servants of the Supreme Lord, by hearing from their lotus mouth the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he attained this very exalted position. And by taking the remnants of their Mahaprasad, his whole existence became purified. So the Srimad Bhagavatam and the message of Bhagavatam teaches that there is no other qualification required, only that one sincerely surrenders at the lotus feet of the pure Vaishnava and hears from him submissively, serves him and follows his instruction, and then it is possible for everyone to attain a divine transcendental position like Sri Narada Muni.
There are so many teachings in this narration of Bhagavata. First, we see a strongly belief in Guru, Gurudev. And we should totally try to follow his words and teaching. Secondly, Vaishnava Bhuli or Bhakta Pada Jal, Bhakta Bhukta says Eighteen Sadhaner Bal. You should know, remnant of Vaishnava, Prasadam, also Harikatha, both Bhakta Pada Dhuli, the feet dust of Vaishnava, and feet water. With strong belief, if you will take, or your anarth will go away. And the ruchi will come. What ruchi? Shraddha, harikatha, and then nishtha, and then ruchi. Test will come. If test comes in any form, what becomes? No chance of going down. Unless he does aparad, Vaishnava aparad, Guru aparad and others, he will advance. So we should try to take all these things and try to follow their words. You can tell the Sambad of Devahuti and Kapil.
Om Jnanam Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Srila Gurudev has ordered me to speak some words about the conversation between Devahuti and Kapiladev. First, who is Devahuti? Devahuti is the daughter of Swayam Bhuvamanu, the emperor of the entire universe. She was married, she was given by her father to the great sage and mystic Kardama Muni. And although she was the daughter of the emperor, she forgot all of her prestige and served her husband very faithfully without any false pride. Because of her sincere service, she hadn't been taking care of herself at all, or bathing, or doing anything for her own sense gratification, but always serving and performing great austerities. So because the original reason why they were married was that he could get a divine son who is the personality of Godhead. Kardama Muni created a city, a palatial city in the sky, and for many years they traveled around. He had such great, powerful, mystic cities that he was able to create 1,000 maidservants in the water under a transcendental lake that was created for him by the Lord himself. And Devahuti went in that lake, and just as one can live in a house of air, by mystic power she was able to go into that house of water and get all beautified in order to travel around in that city palace with her husband. First they begot 9 daughters who married great sages, the son of Lord Brahma. And then Kardama Muni was ready to leave home and take the renounced order of life, but she prayed to him that I must have something from you. So he said that you are now the shareholder of all of my devotional activities. And to Devahuti and Kardama, the great personality of Godhead himself, Kapiladev, took birth. When Kardama Muni was doing austerities, the Lord appeared to him and Kardama prayed, please give me a wife who is so great and also equal to me in character. And the Lord said, because you've come to me for the fulfillment of your desires and not gone anywhere else, you'll get more than your request. So not only will you get such a qualified wife, but I myself will come as your son. So Lord Kapiladev appeared as the son of Devahuti. Kardama left home and took the renounced order of life, and Devahuti remained in the palace, though very austere, and she was taken care of by her now grown son. Now she's inquiring from him, I'm suffering due to ignorance and not knowing who I am or how I can connect with supreme happiness. Please give me some instructions. So Kapiladev, as Srila Gurudev said, there are so many beautiful instructions in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Kapiladev gave her so many instructions about bhakti, about the qualities of the pure devotee, about the creation, about how to meditate on the Lord, and about association with pure devotees. The main instruction of Lord Kapiladev is about this association with pure devotees. Satam prasangam mama virya sambido bhavanti hritkarna rasayana katha. Association with sadhus is such a wonderful thing that by hearing the words emanating from their lotus mouth, this acts as a tonic to free one from all anartas and all entanglements in material existence. Bhavanti hridkarna, as soon as the sound vibration of the pure devotee goes into one's ear, then by the mercy of that pure devotee, it enters the heart, and then one gradually develops through the various stages of bhakti. That is, Shraddha Ratir Bhakti Anukramishati, step by step, as we sing in the mornings, Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Sadma. All stages of bhakti, the abode of all those stages of bhakti is the pure devotee. So by associating with him and hearing from him, Mama Virya Sambhito, about my very heroic activities, then all that is inauspicious of the heart is destroyed, and one advances through the stage, as Gurudev said, from Shraddha to Anartha Nivritti, Nista, Ruchi, Asakti Bhav, and then Prema Bhakti. Lord Kapiladev taught his mother so many things. He taught her about the creation, how Sri Krishna takes the form of Karanadakshaya Vishnu. and Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vrittimanti, all the parts of Krishna's body and all the parts of his expansion's body can act for any other part. So simply by his glancing, creation comes about. By his glancing, the material nature, which is unmanifest, starts manifesting into the three modes of nature, false ego and goodness, false ego and passion, and ignorance. From false ego and ignorance comes the element, sound, ether, and from that, Lord Kapila explains how from that glancing, touch comes, and touching mixed with the air comes a more gross element, and each element that is manifest by the Lord's glancing mixed with time and material nature carries with it all of the qualities of the previous elements. And then the most developed element, earth, carries with it the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord manifests as the deity form, as Sadgun, apparently in material qualities but without material qualities, and by worshipping that form of the Lord, one attains Krishna Prema, if it's under the guidance of the pure devotee. Then Lord Kapiladeva also explained about meditating on the Lord within the heart. He explained how that Lord is the size of the thumb, although not a material form. He's transcendental. And that form, if we meditate on his different limbs, beginning from his lotus feet, gradually coming up to his lotus face, then we become free from all material desires and develop a desire to serve Sri Krishna alone. He explained that on the Lord's lotus feet, at the bottom of the Lord's lotus feet, are many signs, many symbols. And one of those symbols is a thunderbolt. And a thunderbolt has the quality to shatter mountains. So, if one meditates on the Lord's lotus feet, then the mountain of sins and the mountain of dirty thoughts within the mind is all shattered. Then Lord Kapiladeva goes up step by step, discussing the thighs, the calves, the waist, the chest, which is the abode of the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, his hand symbols like the club and the chakra which is the source of all universe and the supreme vision by which one sees the Lord, the mace which destroys all demons and all demonic elements. Then Lord Kapila comes to the Lord's lotus face and he explains how by meditating on the Lord's eyebrows and his glancing, one can become free from lust and diseases of the heart. So in this way, Lord Kapila is teaching many, many subjects. He's teaching also the qualities of the pure devotees, how they're tolerant, how they're friendly, karunika, how they're merciful, how they're equal to all. And he also explains about bhakti, the qualities of bhakti and the stages of bhakti and how one can, by developing bhakti, how one can become detached from matter. The whole purpose of explaining all the different elements and the qualities of elements is to detach us, to see that I'm not any of these material elements, but that I am spirit soul, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, Kapiladeva is gradually teaching his mother more and more. Then, it came to a time when Kapiladeva himself was ready to leave home. And when he left home, his mother, although already very austere and renounced, now she became much more renounced. And she practically stopped eating, or bathing, or doing anything. And she became very lean and thin. And just completely absorbed in the Lord. So this is a very, very important conversation, the sambad or conversation between Devahuti and Kapiladev. It completely uproots
नारद मुनि बजाए बिना राधिकर मन नामे नारद मुनि बजाए बिना राधिकर मन
I'm not.
ধনি নিমিদ সখন
is telling to his mother, means telling to all, satan prasangam vidya samvidau bhavantarita karna rasayana katha tajyosanat asu apabad vartmani saddha rati bhakti. If anyone will hear from any qualified realized soul Krishna Katha, so Krishna Katha are very powerful, even more than Krishna himself, because Krishna is himself Lord of Lords. He has invested his all power, all mercy, all qualities in name. So name can do all the, they can fulfill all the desires of devotees, everything. So Hari Katha, especially Krishna Katha, Bhagavat Katha, is very, very powerful. So, Hit Karana Rasayana Katha, those Hari Katha, Karana Hrita Rasaya, so sweet in hearing. And if you can know the meaning of all these things, oh, Hridaya Rasaya, pleasing to heart also. And thus, Tajyosana, if you will hear attentively, I see that some devotees, they look after their computer. If I say, ask them what Devuti Sambhad Shyamrani told, he cannot reply. This is not hearing Hari Katha. Tajyosana, at that time, hearing Hari Katha to superiors will stop all the activities and hear patiently to follow, then what will be? Oh, then Saddha will come first. And then Rati, Sthai Bhakti, that Bhav, Bhav Bhakti will come. And then Prema Bhakti will come gradually. If you will hear Hari Katha, it will begin from where? First stage, Shraddha. Shraddha in epics. Shraddha in the words of Guru Vaishnava. Shraddha in the words of Krishna. Shraddha in the words of Bhagavata and others. Shraddha. And then, next time, again Sadhu Sangha will burn. Then we'll realize the avashyakta, necessity of Guru Karan. And then we will be initiated. Diksha will be done. All kinds of knowledge will come. All your anarth will be washed out by Diksha. And then Nishtha will come. We have explained in Nishtha, perhaps yesterday. And then Nishtha, Ruchi will come. Then Asakti in Krishna Katha and all other activities and to Krishna. Bhajan and Bhajaniya. First will come in Bhajan. And then Asakti will come in Krishna and his associates, and then Rati will come. Bhav. Bhav is transcendental thing. By following Ragatmik Jal, Nanda Yashoda, Subal Siddham and Gopis, it comes down in our heart. Very valuable thing. That is called the Sthai Bhav. And upon this, Uddipan, Alamban, then sanchari, vibhavi, so many. Then bhakti becomes a rush. Before, prior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, none has explained all this. Only by the mercy of Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his follower Rupa Goswami, you know all these things. And thus, a grief to serve Radhika comes. It's a very barrier. Though anatta are there, but grief is if there, very strongly. Then one day, if you are not criticizing Vaishnava, you have faith in Guru, in Shastravani, then very soon this will come in your heart and you will be liberated and you can go to Braja and serve him in what you like. Go Prema.
Hare Krishna.
Daily you should come before our class to hear, attentively hear. Stop all the your activity and hear presently. Twofold.
Hare Krishna. The management requests me to announce something. So tomorrow will be initiation at 10 a.m. in Gurudev's apartment. Although I am living with Gurudev, I don't know the address, so you have to contact with Sri Mahamudi Prabhu. And new devotee must be certified by a senior devotee. And day after tomorrow will be fire sacrifice. For this, please consult with Mahamudi Prabhu and Damodar Prabhu where and where it will take place. And I am requesting Sripad Damodar Maharaj and Sripad Madhuprada Prabhu to help me about initiation. One more thing. One more thing. That all of this old age, despite the warning of his doctors, he is still traveling to help you all. So you have love for Gurudev, then raise your hand. Okay, so everybody has love for Gurudev. So make this grand festival success. Who has not registered their name and not paid yet their festival fee, please do today after class. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.